Good morning. Our guest speaker for today is not a stranger to us. I think this is the fourth time that he has preached in our church. He became a follower of Jesus Christ in 2010. He's been speaking in Elevate, a youth ministry of Christ Commission Fellowship, and various universities and campuses in Cebu. He is passionate to make Christ committed followers who will disciple others as well. He manages their family business in Mualbual together with his wife, Jana, but have been based in the city since the start of the pandemic. They have also welcomed their first baby last December of 2020. So church, please welcome Brother CJ White.
Thank you, Pastor Tej. Good morning, church. Good morning. It's so good to be back here, no, at Living Word IT Park. I see the hall is now full. No, let's give God a praise. Let's give God the praise. No, and so I entitled this message as we continue on with our series on Colossians, on the book of Colossians. We will be reading our text from chapter 3, verses 22, from to chapter 4, verse 1. Now, I've entitled this message, "Whatever you do, work with all of your heart." No? And so, if I may ask, no, if we can all rise as we read our text together as a church. So, let's read Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. "Slaves, obey those who are your human masters in everything, not with eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord and not for people, knowing that it is from the Lord that you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Thus wrong will receive consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality." Next verse. "Masters, grant your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you also will have masters in heaven." Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can worship you as a church this morning. We thank you that we could sing songs together, that we can praise you, O Lord God, freely. And I pray, O Lord God, for this morning service. I pray for anyone right now who is going through a tough time. I pray for anyone who is hurting, who is down, who is depressed, O Lord, who is looking for answers. And I pray that they find their answers in you alone. And Lord, this morning I pray for all the fathers. Lord, there is that deep burden and that responsibility for us fathers in this world today. And I pray that we love our wives as Christ has loved the church. We pray that we love our children, that we care for our family, and that we lead them to you, O Lord God. And most of all, Lord, that you may help the fathers to love you above all. And I pray, O Lord God, in a room this big, I know that there are people who are hurting because they have absentee fathers. Their fathers were not there for them. And I want you, O Lord God, to remind them that you are our perfect Father. And you have been with us time and time again. And that you have never left us. And that you have always provided for us. So all of us, O Lord God, we look to you as our perfect and heavenly Father. And I pray, O Lord God, for the service. I pray for myself, O Lord, that you may fill me with your Spirit, that I may say only the things that you want me to say. And may you be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. You may now take your seats. So again, no, once again, for some of you or most of you who don't know me, no, I am Clive Jason White. I am half Filipino. No, I was born here, so I speak Bisaya fluently. No, so kay bawo jud ko mo Bisaya. No, I was I grew up speaking Bisaya, speaking English. So I really am truly a Filipino. No? And here's what I've realized, no? I just want us to give a clap again, no, to the Lord. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Because I've realized, no, imagine things are getting back to normal. No, I don't think we've realized, especially during the pandemic, we've taken things for granted. We were stuck at home for such a long time. No, and now, like, there are no more masks. Shields. No, who misses shields? No one. I don't love shields. No, nobody really liked the shields. But everything now is slowly, no, the malls are filling up. The church is filling up. Let's praise God for that. And here's what I've realized, no? We all have 24 hours a day. I don't know anyone in this room who has 25 hours. I don't know anyone who has 26, right? And I don't know anyone who has less. Everybody has here 24 hours a day. And what we do with our time is up to us. And it usually reveals what is important to us. You agree? Whatever we spend most of our time with reveals what is most or what is important to us. Now, I'll share a slide here that shows an average, you know, the average time a person spends per day. So it's 29%, you know, 7 hours of sleep per day. Okay, for full-time mothers, it's probably less. No, siguro 2 hours, 1 hour. No, I don't know that because I am just sleeping. No, beside my wife. Thank you, hon. No, thank you. 8% eating. No, that's 2 hours a day. Again, that's not 2 hours per meal. Okay? That's the whole day. So around 45 minutes per meal. 46% is spent, okay, working and traveling to work. That's 11 hours of our 24 hours a day. And we have 17% personal time, no? For our K-pop lovers, I know what you do on your personal time, okay? And that's typically a day. And you can see very clearly on this slide, we spend most of our lives working. And that's why today's topic is especially important for all of us, no? Can I get a raise of hands if you know what TGIF means? If you know what that means, okay, don't be shy, okay? For those who don't know, no, it's not just a restaurant in Ayala, okay? It's, thank God it's Friday. And so far, no, in the many years that I've been working, I've never heard anyone say, thank God it's Monday tomorrow. No, I've never heard anyone say, bro, I'm so excited. Ganoon, I'm so excited to work tomorrow sa Monday. Grabe. So excited. And if you're a student, I've never heard anyone, no? I'm so excited for the periodical exams on Monday. No? No one. No one is really that excited to work. We want the weekend. We want the rest. Right? And whether we enjoy work or not, we have to realize that we are actually made to work. Okay? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we see that before the fall, before the curse of sin, God gave man to work. Work was included in God's original plan for his people. Let's read the verse together. Let's read the verse. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and tend it. He asked him, no, to cultivate it, to tend it. He didn't just leave him there to do nothing. We are designed to work, and God intends us to work and to keep moving. Now the question for us is, no, where are we called to work and how should we work? Now in last week's text, Paul was addressing various members of the family. You know, he was talking to the wives, he was talking to the fathers or the husbands, he was talking to children, and Pastor TJ told us, no, how we could live in a healthy home that each of us have a responsibility to take, right? And in our study tonight, Paul will be addressing another group of people. He will be addressing the majority of whom he was writing to. Okay? So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, it states, Slaves, obey those who are your human masters in everything. So I've focused on the word slaves. Now I want to give us a better understanding of what that was like in their time. No? So during the time of Jesus in first century church, as much as 1/3 of the Roman population were slaves. So a lot of them, no, especially listening or reading Paul's letter, were actually slaves. 1/3. And another 1/3 were slaves earlier in life. Okay? So there were various ways that you could become a slave, or they were slaves. No, one way were through wars. When the Roman Empire conquered a nation, the defeated nation would become slaves. Another way, no, if you were born a slave, you were a slave, right? If you were born by slaves, if your parents were slaves, then you were a slave. And some bond servants, no, sold themselves into slavery for various reasons. And one reason could be because of utang or debt. Okay, there were no banks back then. They couldn't just go to one organization and borrow money and pawn something, right? If they were struggling with their money, no, and they had a family, they would become slaves so that they would be under one family and serve this family so that I can provide for my own family. So that was the setup back then. And it was also common that freemen, okay, people who weren't slaves, were working with slaves. No, what were they working as? Or they were working side by side with what? Street sweepers, doctors, dock workers, teachers, business managers, and the like. No, so there were a lot of professionals actually who were slaves. So they had many various jobs during that time who were slaves or servants. Okay, another term for slaves is servants or bond servants. So we have to remember as well, no, as we continue, that slaves had no rights, that they had no inheritance. No, they weren't waiting for money, or they weren't waiting for anything at the end. No, and they were very easily threatened. So in this case, no, as Paul was writing, there were a lot of Christian slaves listening to him. Okay, so that's what he was talking to. Now, in today's application, what is that? No, in today's application, we are addressing employees, and later on, we will be addressing employers. Okay, so what did Paul in verse 22 say to the slaves, or what did he want them to do? And this is what he said: obey those who are your human masters in everything. So Paul is asking the slaves in the church, fellow believers, no, to obey their masters in everything. And whatever task that their masters asked them to do, he wanted them to obey. Okay? But he did not tell them to obey them when they asked them to do something that was contrary to what God had said. No, I just want to clarify that. And he gives them two ways to obey their masters in everything. Let's first look at the first way. Okay, the first way is not with eye service. Now, it says in verse 22, not with eye service as people pleasers. So as we obey our employers, no, as workers, as employees, as we obey in everything, we are not to do it with eye service. What does that mean? Not to do it externally. Not to do it when they are looking. Not to do it when they are around. Not just when they are around. No, and I'm sure we've heard the saying before. No, when the cat is away, the mouse will play. Right? And that's true. And I know many of us have experienced that ourselves. No, and as a manager myself, no, as I've mentioned, or as Pastor Tej mentioned a while ago, we're in the hospitality industry. Okay, so we manage a resort. My wife and I, we manage a resort. So we deal with employees. We also deal with guests. And we want to make sure that our guests are being served with the best experience and with the best service. No, and in the hospitality industry, there are so many departments that you have to look at. No, there's the kitchen, and we were into diving, so there's diving and all of that. And so I'd notice I would have to go around the different departments. And there are times when I would intentionally not tell some of the departments that I'm passing through. No, and so they're very relaxed. Some of them have their phones with them where they shouldn't have their phones, right? And when they pass by, they stand up straight. They keep their phone. Oh, sir, morning, right? Why? Because they know that I'm not around, right? And so they slack off. They don't really work hard. They don't do what you've asked them to do because why? The boss isn't around, right? The boss isn't here. And so, for many of us, no, since the start of the pandemic, many of us are working from home, right? Many of us are enjoying this setup because now we don't have to travel, right? We don't need to get stuck in traffic. But here's what I've realized. No, many of us, students and employees and companies have a lot of meetings. Zoom, Microsoft Teams. And here's what I've realized. That we are more productive when our camera is on than when it is off, right? Because the meeting could be going on and we're cooking, right? Pansit Canton, right? Or we're cleaning the house, right? Or we're on break, but they didn't know. Hello, Clive, are you there? Right? And I'm not on the keyboard, right? I'm away from the keyboard. And so there are many examples. Now I know my niece. She's not here right now, but during one time, no, she was in class, and especially for the students, no, the past few years it was hard. It was all online. She was in bed, no. Yes, teacher, present. She didn't shower. She was just on her pajamas, right? And the camera was off. We're more productive when the camera is on compared to when it is off. No, and I'm not sure if you've seen this show before. It's called Undercover Boss. No, if you've seen that show before, just raise your hand. Okay, Undercover Boss. Okay, we have a few. If you haven't seen it before, Undercover Boss, okay, is where an CEO or a manager disguises themselves as an employee. Okay, and they work in the company and they work with their employees side to side, no, side by side. So they act as if they're a new employee, then they're being hired. Okay? So what happens during these shows, no, that the managers and the CEOs discover some employees are working so hard, regardless of whether management was there or not, but there are a lot of employees who aren't following the protocols, who are slacking off. No, imagine, no, you're teaching, your disguised boss and the CEO of the company thinks that you are doing wrong. Because you're thinking in your head of, the boss isn't here. The boss doesn't know. My manager isn't here. Right? And so as Christian employees, we are to work well. Regardless of whether our boss, our manager is around. Because we are not working for eye service. Right? We are not working to please our boss. We are working ultimately for the Lord. And we will share that in a few slides. Okay, the second way to obey earthly masters that Paul tells them, you know, is to work and obey with a sincere heart, a whole heart, okay? And with reverence for the Lord, fearing the Lord. Why? Because he knows everything and he sees everything. So it says here, not with eye service as people pleasers, but with a sincere heart fearing the Lord. Okay? That we are serving, that we are obeying, not because we have to, not because we are obliged to, but because we want to and because we fear the Lord. And here's what I've realized, and I don't know if you agree with me on this, that nothing becomes an obligation when love is the motivation. Right? Nothing becomes an obligation when love is the motivation. Maybe for some of us, no? We've been working so hard in our business, in our company, for our company, for our bosses, and you're tired. And you feel so obliged. I'm so obliged to do this. I have to help my family. I have to help my kids, my wife. My parents, I'm so tired. Remember, nothing becomes an obligation when love is the motivation. And it's not just our love for our family, not just our love for the Lord, but His love for us. You have to remember that love that we're talking about as a motivation, it's God's love for us because it never runs out, and that He loved us first. So when you realize and when you contemplate and when you understand that it's God's love and that it's His love that motivates you, nothing will be an obligation. As you come to church, as you serve, nothing becomes an obligation. Now in verse 23, Paul says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord and not for people. What is he saying? No, in whatever task that you are called to do, wherever God has placed you, no, you should work with all of your heart, putting your whole heart into the work, because we are not doing it for men. We are not doing it for people, but we are ultimately doing it for the Lord. So as a student, work with all of your heart. As a professional, work with all of your heart. As a full-time mom, work with all of your heart. Paul is telling the slaves and servants to look to the one who you are ultimately serving. Look to the one to who you are ultimately serving. What's our message today? Whatever you do, do or work with all of your heart. No? So if you forget the message, or if you're going about your day, what was the message today? Nice ang service, no? Sige, ito, nindot. Nindot siya, right? What was the message? Basta, nindot, right? Don't forget, whatever you do, work with all of your heart. That's our message for this morning. Now, here's the thing. Now, some of us might think that it's only when we are only serving the Lord when we are serving Him in church. Okay? Maybe some of us are thinking, no? If you're a pastor, then you are serving the Lord. If you are singing songs, if you're the worship leader, then you are serving the Lord. If you're in the tech team, if you're in church, you're in this location serving, then you are serving the Lord. But here's what I want us to understand. As Christians, we have to understand that there is no such thing as secular work. Why? Because all work is sacred when we are working for Him. Amen? All work is sacred when we are working for Him. God has called us in different places. God has placed us in different companies. God has placed us with different groups of people, with different teams. Right? We are working with different types of personalities. Some people we like, some people not so much. Right? But all work is sacred when we are working for Him. So what should we do? Okay? And the opposite is true. I could be here preaching to all of you, and I could be doing this for myself. Right? So someone could be here singing their songs, and they're doing it for themselves. Right? It's all about our hearts. It's all about our perspective. Wherever God has placed you, He has placed you there for a purpose. And that's for Him, to serve Him. Because ultimately, we are working for Him. And so as we work and as we do our jobs, okay, we say a prayer to the Lord. Lord, this is for you. Lord, I am doing this for you, and I pray that you be glorified in my work today. So now proceeding. Now what else does he say in the next verse? Verse 24. Paul now gives three reasons why, okay? So he was telling us how, not by eye service, right? But work with all of your heart for the Lord. Now why should we do that? Why should we obey? Why should we do these things? And he gives us three reasons. Now, let me read verse 24 first. Knowing that it is from the Lord that you will receive the reward of the inheritance. And it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. First reason is this. Why should we do that? Because we know that we will receive an inheritance. The foundation to this call is obedience. Okay, what is the Apostle Paul said about inheritance? What did he say about inheritance in Colossians? Now, let's look at the previous chapters. Now, chapter 1, verse 5, he mentions, no, because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. There's a hope reserved for us in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Now, there is this heavenly hope for believers, right? That we have this heavenly hope. Verse 12 of chapter 1, he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Okay, so imagine, no, we have to imagine that we have to understand rather, no, that slaves again did not have an inheritance. Okay? Like if their master died, they would not get their wealth. Right? There was no inheritance. They were just working. Okay? And that there is this heavenly inheritance for the saints. This hope that is laid up for us in heaven. And he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us the kingdom of his beloved son. That's our hope. Right? And imagine, let's try to imagine slaves who were suffering. Let's try to imagine slaves who did not like their boss. Let's try to imagine slaves who did not enjoy what they were doing. Some of them might have been suffering, right? And so what Paul was saying is, I want you guys to have an internal perspective in life. I want you guys to remember, and I want to remind you that I want you to know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord. Right? And I'm sure many of us are tired, with our work. We're so tired with what we are doing. Maybe we are suffering or in a challenging position right now at work. And I want to give you an illustration. No, let's just say we've been so busy. For the next 2 weeks, we are super, super busy. And now that flights are opening up, now that things are getting a little bit more normal, compared to before, we book a flight. No, 2 weeks from now, we are booking a flight to Singapore. 1 week, all expense paid, okay, with our family. So no matter how busy we are in the next 2 weeks, it doesn't matter. Why? Because we're looking forward to something. We have that hope. I'm going to go out on vacation, right? I'll just finish my work, la, 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 right? Because I'm expecting something and I'm waiting for something. I have hope because there's something waiting for me. That's the same thing, to what he was telling the slaves. Hey, you guys have an inheritance waiting for you. Keep going. Keep serving. Obey your masters in everything. The second part of verse 24, he says, what is the second reason or second way that we can serve? And he reminds the slaves, and the servants. He's reminding them, hey, don't forget, you're not serving them. You are ultimately serving the Lord Christ whom you serve. That he is our ultimate master. Paul is repeating what he just said the previous verses. What he has been saying. That we are obeying our masters with a sincere heart, fearing the Lord, that we will work for the Lord. And now he's reminding them, hey, serve the Lord. Wherever he has placed you, serve him. It is for him. Ultimately, it is not what you do. It is who you work for. Who is your boss? Who are you really working for? What are you really working for? And I hope and I pray that we realize through this message, hey, Lord, you are my boss. You are my manager. You are my master. And when we fully embrace and realize who we truly are serving and working for, it will transform our perspective and motivate us at work. As Christians, it doesn't matter whether we have a good boss or a bad boss. Because again, our ultimate boss is the Lord. More than the salary, more than the career growth, more than any other reason, no? We are working, we are where we are to serve Him and to make Him known. Now, last reason, no? What last reason why He gives this to the slaves or tells this to the slaves, no? Because we are accountable to the Lord. He says in verse 25, this is what Paul writes, "For the one who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality." What is he saying? We reap what we sow. Paul is telling his listeners that we should be careful how we work, because we reap what we sow, that there are consequences when we do wrong. Okay? Maybe for some of us who are working, no, we have to be careful from stealing from the company's time. No, maybe we are at work, but we're doing something else. Right? Or maybe, I'll just get a few bond paper, no, because my son has an assignment and a project. Glory to God. Right? And so that's not good. Right? That should not be. Right? Because, for the one who does wrong will receive consequences. There is reaping and sowing. So we shouldn't think as Christians, okay? I want to get this straight. We shouldn't think as Christians that we can get away with sloppy work, with laziness at work. We cannot expect to get a promotion when we are not putting in excellent work. No, Lord, I have been going to church faithfully. No, I've been attending small groups every week. I've been reading my Bible every day. Why am I not promoted? No, why didn't you put me at this position? Because you haven't been working. Right? You've just been attending church. You've just been attending small groups, but you haven't been putting in the work. Right? We are His hands and feet. When we are working, people look at our lives and see, what's the difference with this person? No? What's the difference with this Christian? I think they go to Living Word IT Park. No, what's the difference? Are we slacking off at work, or are we putting in all our heart, whether our boss is there or not? Or are we the first ones to go on break when the boss leaves? Right? Breaks ako. Right? And so that's what I am trying to tell all of us, and what Paul was telling the servants at that time. Now, I want to share with you, one of my favorite athletes who was an example with working hard and giving all of your heart, whatever, wherever God has placed you. And who knows about Tim Tebow? Who's heard about Tim Tebow? Okay? A few hands. Okay, just to share with you who Tim Tebow was and what he does. Tim Tebow, okay, is actually, he's a Filipino. He was born in the Philippines. His parents were missionary parents. So they moved to the Philippines for their ministry. And they got pregnant, no? And they gave birth to Tim Tebow. 3 years later, they moved back to the States. Okay? But Tim Tebow grew up a Christian. He grew up in a Christian home. And he always loved sports. Always, he was really into sports. He was into baseball, whatever sport, you name it. But what he really excelled in was American football. Okay, in college, okay, he was in a very good team in college, and he was the quarterback. Okay, the quarterback is sort of like the star or like the point guard. He calls all the plays. He tells his team, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is the plan that we're going to do. Let's execute. Okay, so he was really good at that. In his college days, he was given one of the best recognition, the Heisman Trophy. That is awarded to the most outstanding college player in American football. So if you were the best, there's only one. No, you only get to receive one, and one player only receives it. And that was given to Tim Tebow that year. Okay? So in football, no, if you've noticed in this picture, they put something black underneath their eyes. Okay? This thing here, down here, right? And the reason for that, it is said, no, it's to deflect any light No, from the stadium. If it's too bright, so it doesn't get to their eyes, they put something dark around their eyes. Okay? Another reason is for the sunlight. Right? That it's not too, it doesn't get into their eyes, so they put something black around here. Right? So Tim Tebow was about to participate in a championship game. And because he was following the Lord, because he was faithful in the Lord, and he had that relationship with God, he was thinking, I want to put a verse underneath my eye. I don't want this to be black. No, I wanna be used by God. So he was thinking, no, John 3:16, that's a good verse. Right? That's the essence of our hope as Christians. And I feel like that's the essence of Christianity. John 3:16. So 6 weeks before the championship game, he was really contemplating, he was praying about it, and then he decided. On that day, he put John 3:16. Long story short, they won the championship game. Okay? After the game, again, he was the star, right? He held the ball, he was throwing the ball, he was the star of their offense. And so, after the championship game, 94 million people Googled John 3:16. 94 million people did not know what John 3:16 was. Let's give God a hand. And the reason for that, because that particular game was nationally televised. It was shown all throughout America, that particular game. All right? But it doesn't end there. What happens next? Okay? 3 years later, on that same day, no? 3 years later, on that same day, he is now playing professional football. Okay? He's now playing for the Denver Broncos. Alright? And he's in a playoff game, and they won the game. Okay? They won the game. After the game, his public relations representative said, "Hey, Tim Tebow, come here. I want to talk to you." Guess what happened? He said, "Yeah, we won the game." So no, something else happened. Did you know that today is the same day you wore the John 3:16? It's the same day, 3 years later. So really? Wow, that's pretty cool. Is that it? No, there's more. No, so his representative tells him the stats. What happened on that day? No, I'll share this with you. No, he says, "No, I don't think you've realized what happened. During the game, you threw 316 yards. Okay? 316 yards, okay? Your yards per completion was 31.6. 316. Okay? Your yards per rush were 3.16. Your ratings for the night were 31.6. Okay? And the time of possession was 31.06. And during the game, 91 million people Googled John 3:16 in every platform. And it's currently trending on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. 91 million people Googled John 3:16 after that game. And here's what Tim Tebow, this is what's amazing. This is what he says after he heard all of that. "The God that we serve is a God of miracles. I just have to be willing to step out and say, 'Here you go, God. God, I'm going to give you my fish and my loaves of bread. And just watch what he does with it.'" Now let's give God a hand. All Tim Tebow did was work with all of his heart. Give God the fish. Give God the loaves. And watch what he will do in your life. Watch what he will do in your company. Watch what he will do in your organization. Give him everything. Serve him with all of your heart wherever he has placed you. Now, what happens when in whatever we do, we work with all of our hearts? God is glorified. And isn't that why we are here? Isn't that why we are here? No? To serve him, to make Him known, to glorify Him. So that's why, no, we should work with all of our hearts. Now he moves, no, Paul now moves from servants, slaves, to now masters. He says in chapter 4, verse 1, "Masters, grant your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." He says here, no, he says grant. What does grant mean? Grant is actually an imperative. It is in the present tense. It's ongoing. It is continuous. And he's saying, I want you to be always fair, to be always just to your servants. Okay, so if you're here and you manage people, and you're a team lead, or maybe you're a manager, or maybe you're a CEO, you own a firm, right? You manage people, or maybe you're here, you have house help at home. Technically, that makes you an employer, right? How do we treat them? How do we treat our employees? God is saying, treat them with kindness. Treat them with fairness. Okay? Why? He gives the reason. God is saying, no? Paul is saying to the masters, treat them as God treats you. If God has provided for you and your company and your firm, I want you to provide for your employees. If God has been merciful to you, be merciful to your employees. Some have said that this is the managerial golden rule. Masters, grant slaves or servants justice and fairness. And he gives the reason why. Knowing that you also have a master in heaven. The reason why they should treat their employees well is because, hey, you also have a master in heaven. Knowing we have a master in heaven, he should be the main reason why we are doing what we are doing. We should be fixing our eyes to him. Okay? He's telling, hey, masters, stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at the prophet and this and that. Focus on your employees. Without them, you are not there. You will not be where you are without your employees. Right? And everybody knows that. We will not be, you know, the household will not be the same without our house help. If you're so used to having your house help around, you know, the house will not be the same. It will be a mess, probably, right? And so how do we treat them? When our employees look at our lives, do they see Christ? Do they know that we are treating them fairly? Do they know that we are treating them with justice? Or are they thinking that we are taking advantage of them? Are they saying, oh, I don't see any goodness in my boss. I don't see any goodness in my manager. I think he is a bully. I think she is a bully. Right? So we have that responsibility as well, no, as employers. Now I want to share, no, another story as we end of a person who understood this and put this into practice as a businessman. No? And this person is S. Truett Cathy. No? For those of you who don't know, he is the CEO and the founder of Chick-fil-A. Okay? Chick-fil-A is a very well-known fast food chain in America. Unfortunately, we don't have it here. No, for some of our businessmen, it's a good opportunity. No, franchise. Chick-fil-A, it is one of the fastest in America, and it's ranked number 8, currently number 8, okay? But here's the thing, it's number 8, but it's number 1 in profitability per location. Okay? Per location that it has, it's so profitable, okay? Because why? He understood that it's all about stewardship, okay? That it is not his. And he instituted Christian values in his business. Now, let me share with you some of the things that I found out in their website No, they're very open and they share a lot of their vision and their values on their website. This is what Chick-fil-A's purpose is on their website: to glorify God by being a faithful steward to all that is entrusted to us. To have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. Look, imagine, it sounds like a church vision. Or it sounds like a church mission statement and purpose. Right? Why? The owner understands, this isn't my business. I am just a steward. I am just managing the business of my boss. I am just managing my master's business. And I want to glorify Him in the process. And I want to be faithful in being a steward to all that God has entrusted to us. Now, what else does he say? No, or what is their culture there in that company? It says here, no, Chick-fil-A is committed to a workplace culture where everyone is treated with three things: honor, dignity, and respect. And our policies, practices, and benefits support this goal. So it's all about honor, dignity, and respect to the employees, to the management, to everyone in the organization. No, and this is very interesting. For a fast food restaurant, no, they are known for being closed on Sundays. Imagine, fast food restaurant closed on Sundays. Why? It allows their operators and their team members to enjoy a day of rest, to be with their families, with their loved ones, and to worship if they choose. Imagine that. Oh, look how, I'm talking to the businessman here, no? How hard is that decision? Especially if you're talking about a restaurant, no? Sunday, no, in the Philippines, that's one of the biggest days for sales, especially today. No, Father's Day. People will be going out. Whole families will be going out. But this guy understands and this guy knows that it's about stewardship. It's no longer about the money. It's no longer about the profit. I want my staff to rest. I want them to spend time with their families. I want them to treat them. No, I want to treat them with honor, with dignity. And it's very interesting because even though they are closed on Sundays, they are the most profitable per location. Now imagine how God rewards. Now let's give God a hand. So I'm not telling all our business owners, no, to close on Sunday. but God knows, no, and God, He speaks. There are certain ways, right? For our church, so I think usually, you know, those full-time workers, they have a rest day on Mondays. Their Sabbath is on Mondays. We have no, if your workers are working 24/7, we have to wake up. Okay, that should not be. They should have time for their families as well. We should respect their time. Especially now, no, with Zoom, it seems like we're busier. There are more meetings na noon. Imbis mas gamay. No, now there are more meetings. Okay, 10 to 9. 9:30 naka-sandwich na ng open meetings, right? So let's consider our employees as well. To conclude, what is this? How does this apply to all of us? That when we work, God wants us to work hard. Not just to work when people are watching, not just to work when our boss is around, but to work for His glory because He sees and knows everything we do. And to work with a sincere heart, to work with all of our heart, because we know that His eyes are always on us. And we want to bring honor. We want to bring glory to Him. We work hard because we know we have that hope. We have an inheritance waiting for us. This is not our home. We have a home in heaven. And He's reminding us, no, always, don't forget, ultimately, Lord, I'm serving You. Lord, I'm so tired na, Lord. I'm so stressed with work. Ultimately, You are serving Him. Honor Him. Glorify Him in whatever you are asked to do. He is our master. And He is our boss. In whatever you do, work with all of your heart, all for the Lord. Now, I want to share with you a last verse, no, found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 to 24. I will just be reading it slowly, no, so that we will really understand, or really, that God will really speak to us through these verses. Peter says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also those who are harsh." Right? To be subject, to obey, to follow what they say, even if they are a pain in the butt, right? Even if they are harsh. "For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience towards God, a person endures grief when suffering unjustly." Verse 20. "For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God." Okay? If you've made a mistake and you're suffering for it, that's a consequence, right? But he's saying, what if you're doing things right and you're obeying and still you are suffering? Look at the last part of this verse. "This finds favor with God." Don't worry, because God sees. God's gonna be the one to reward you. God sees your hard work. And again, at the end of the day, when you do this, God will be glorified. He says in verse 22, "For you have been called for this purpose, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you would follow in his steps." Christ is our example. Verse 22, He who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being abusively insulted, he did not insult in return. While suffering, he did not threaten, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Verse 24, "And he himself brought our sins in his body up on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness." Look at this last part of the verse. "By his wounds, we are healed." Where did Peter get these verses from? He alludes to Isaiah 53. You know, some of the verses here were from Isaiah 53, which is the passage on what? The suffering servant. He is pointing his audience. He is pointing the church, hey, if you think you're suffering, look to Christ, because he sets the example. And not only that, because he is our suffering servant, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, chose to become a servant, a slave. Why? Because he loves us and he wanted to obey his Father in heaven. Look at verse 22. "He who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth." No? While abusively insulted, he did not return the favor. While he was threatened, he kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. And verse 24. No? "And he himself brought our sins up in his body up on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness." Let's not forget what Christ has done for us. Imagine, look at the words that he's using here. "By his wounds, we are all healed." Because of what he has done on the cross for all of us, we can live for him. Our Savior became a slave for us to live, for us to serve him, for us to work for him. So I would gladly be a slave for Christ, because I know what he has done for me and for you. So look at what Christ has done on the cross. Look at his finished work on the cross. It is only through his death, or the death of Jesus Christ, that we could be forgiven from our sins and made right before God. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, Lord, we thank you for reminding us that we are to work for you. Thank you for reminding us that we should work with all of our hearts, not for men, not for eye pleasers, or not when people are looking to us, not when our boss is around, not when the CEO is around, but it's understanding that we are serving you. It's understanding that you are there and you see us. You see our ways. You see what we are doing. And we pray, O Lord God, for all the employees here, everyone here represented this morning, that we may glorify you wherever you have placed us. And for the employers here, O Lord God, I pray that they look to you, our ultimate master, that they remember what you have done for them as well, that they should treat their employees with fairness, with justice, knowing what you have done for all of us. And Lord God, if anyone is new here and does not have that relationship with you yet, but is touched by your word, is pierced by your word, understanding, Lord, that by your wounds we are healed, I pray, O Lord God, that they will know you, that they will understand what you have truly done for all of us. That when we put our faith in you, and when we believe that you have died on the cross, that we may receive forgiveness for our sins, past, present, future. But, O Lord, you died, but you did not stay dead. You rose again on the third day to prove that you are indeed the Son of God. And so we put our faith in you, our ever-living God. And I pray that they will be connected to a small group to help them grow in their faith. That they are not alone in this life, O Lord. And I pray again for everyone here that they found their answers in you, that they needed to hear from you, O Lord God, this morning, that you have pierced their hearts. We love you, O Lord God. We thank you. Happy, happy Father's Day, our Abba Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.